This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly O? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up this hour, my friend Adam Rank is going to join us from NFL Network. Check it out. NFL Network's Adam Rank will join us to talk about the upcoming NFL weekend. He'll drop on by in about 17 minutes from now. Next hour, Alexi Lalas, Fox Sports soccer analyst, former U.S. men's national team standout star, is going to join us as well in advance of tomorrow night's MLS Cup that comes your way a little over an hour from now. Speaking of NFL Network, if you have not caught the NFL Films A Football Life series this year on NFL Network, I highly encourage you to do so. Many of you probably have it on demand, but I have watched a couple of episodes this year. Actually, I've watched them all, but I've watched a couple of episodes this year that were really emotional and really gripping, namely the Dwight Clark episode. Dwight Clark, of course, caught the catch from Joe Montana, 1981, which began the dynasty of the San Francisco 49ers, and Dwight Clark had an amazing life. Dwight Clark was not supposed to be drafted. He was a wide receiver at Clemson that got no run for the NFL draft. And Bill Walsh ends up going down to Clemson to scout his quarterback. You might remember a guy's name, Steve Fuller. He goes down to scout Fuller, and Fuller throws to Dwight Clark, and Clark has the workout of a lifetime. Bill Walsh was not at Clemson to see Dwight Clark. Bill Walsh looks at Dwight Clark and says, man, that guy's catching everything thrown. And I'm trying to install a brand new offense that the NFL has never seen, the West Coast offense. I know timing patterns. He can get down. He's catching everything around him. He's got great hands. He's smart. He's agile. You know what? I think he's my guy. And they take Dwight Clark when nobody else would have. And Dwight Clark ends up having his number retired by the San Francisco 49ers. He wins multiple championships with San Francisco and has one of the most famous catches in NFL history. He ends up becoming an executive with the team and ultimately, unfortunately, passes away earlier this year from ALS. And once they get into his late career or his late life and the battle with the disease and the final interview with him and the way that people talk about him, let me tell you, if you are not misty-eyed by the end of that, you have no soul. You've got no heart. It was a gripping, gripping, gripping piece. And they've just done such great work, NFL Films, on this A Football Life series. But Dwight Clark really stood out amongst them. But the Bill Cowher one is excellent. The Willie McGinnis one is excellent. They're all really, really good. So I highly encourage you to check them out. College football here. You've got Nick Saban yesterday as part of a press conference in advance of the Orange Bowl between Alabama and Oklahoma coming up in a couple of weeks, saying that Tua is, quote, right on schedule. Of course, Tua Tagovailoa injured in the SEC title game. Jalen Hurts comes in. Hurts completely changes the dynamic of that game, runs away from Georgia, and they survive to be the number one seed
in the playoff. Alabama likely would have been in anyway, but certainly Georgia would have been in. Instead, Georgia is out. Bama is your undefeated number one seed. Saban said the procedure on Tua usually takes 2 weeks for a guy to be able to have any explosive movement, and then they go from there. So we'll see how he progresses, but we're pleased with the progress that he's made to this point. Guys, I think this is fascinating because, number one, after what you saw in Atlanta last Saturday, are we sure Tua is the best option, even if he is healthy? Now, look, Tua is a finalist for the Heisman. He has been phenomenal all season long. I am not here to discredit Tua's amazing career to this point. And I say career kind of loosely because it's been one game last year, one half of one game of the national championship game, and just this season. But if he leads this team to a national championship, wins a Heisman, and last year won a national championship in the second half against Georgia in the national championship game, I mean, that is a hell of a college football career already. But Tua hasn't been right all season. We've seen this. He's had the knee brace. Saban has seemingly played him when he has not needed to be played. Maybe it was so that it did not open up a quarterback controversy. Maybe so that the locker room was not defiant or questioning anything. But Tua has not been 100% all season long. And if he is not 100% against Oklahoma, this provides a really amazing backdrop. Alabama's defense is good. It's not as stout, as standout as his has been at other times in Nick Saban's tenure. Look at what Jake Fromm, DeAndre Swift, Holyfield, and the rest of those guys last week did to Alabama's defense in the first half and through three quarters. They really went up and down the field on them. They ran the football well. They threw the football well. They created big plays. They scored in the red zone. They scored touchdowns, not field goals. Guys, Alabama's defense can be had. And Kyler Murray can have it. Kyler Murray and Lincoln Riley's offense at Oklahoma is going to put up points. They put up points last year in the playoff against Georgia. They put up points in every week of the season of the Big 12. They'll put up points. The question is, can Oklahoma's defense get a stop? And maybe not. Maybe they can't force a punt. And maybe this game ends up being 62-48. Maybe it's 54-42. Maybe it's just one of these games where last team that has it standing, or simply that it's a push and pull, tug of war, score by score game until the fourth quarter, and then Alabama comes up with a stop when they need it. But what happens if Tua starts this game and looks like he did last week? What happens if Tua starts this game, throws off his back foot, is it mobile? They've got to punt a couple of times. And suddenly, because Oklahoma's scoring, you find yourself down by 14 points. Look, I think the Jalen Hurts story is amazing. I love Hurts' professionalism. How can you not? I love his maturity. I love the fact that he stuck around to try to help the team and it ended up paying off dividends. But it's a lot to ask for him to bail them out from a 2-touchdown deficit again. And Georgia's offense dwindled, gassed out by the end of that game last Saturday. I don't think that's going to happen against Oklahoma. It's possible Nick Saban can have a really bad chess move here, and Saban seems to always make the right chess move, so I'm not predicting that he's going to make a mistake, but he could. And he could because if he goes back to Tua, because Tua is quote-unquote healthy, and he's been stubborn to Tua even though Tua's been banged up this season. If he sticks with Tua, starts Tua, and then suddenly Oklahoma opens up a 2-touchdown lead, you might not be able to catch him. You might not be able to make up that deficit even when you put in Jalen Hurts. So I wonder if this is not all a smokescreen from Nick Saban knowing he's got to start Jalen Hurts. But remember this, Jalen Hurts was no great shakes last year in the national championship game. This is why they had to make the switch at halftime to Tagovailoa. So there's not an easy answer here against Oklahoma. I think it's funny. By virtue of beating Georgia, Alabama stayed at number one. But by virtue of beating Georgia, they got Oklahoma. maybe the worst matchup for him. Look, I think Clemson can give him a game because Clemson has an explosive offense, a big-time, big-play quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, one of the great defensive lines in recent memory in college football. So I think they've got a lot of what it takes to take down Alabama. I don't think Notre Dame stands any chance. To me, the best chance to take down Alabama is going to be Clemson, but Oklahoma's going to be right behind them, and only because Oklahoma can land big punches. You'd think by being the one seed, taking on the four, that's the best matchup for you. It's not. The best matchup in this playoff is taking on Notre Dame for Alabama. Bama would be a 3-touchdown favorite over Notre Dame. I think this Oklahoma game is actually very sticky for Bama, and it's primarily because there's no perfect answer at quarterback right now. Now, maybe you start Tua and you've just got a quick hook. Maybe you start him, and if he's a little hobbled and you've got to punt a couple of times in the first quarter, you know what? Maybe you've just got to go to Jalen Hurts and then ride him. But again, if this is a game where you're trading punches, if this is a game where last man standing wins, if this is a game where you're just trading scores and every possession matters, you can't afford two punts. Right? I mean, if this ends up being a 40 or 50 point game on each side, which is the game Oklahoma has played all season, Oklahoma has not played a game of the 20s outside of the game against Army. All season, they're playing in the 40s and 50s. Every game. So if this is like every game and you're in the 40s or the 50s, you can't afford two punts. You can't afford two punts and a field goal when the other team scores two touchdowns and a field goal or three touchdowns. I don't know if there's a good answer for Nick Saban, which is crazy to think about because not too long ago we were talking about how historically great and how unbeatable Alabama has been. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers, cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you've got to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Big time NBA matchup on tap for tonight. How about Warriors traveling to Milwaukee to face the Bucks? I believe Milwaukee is Algonquin for the good land. The Warriors are looking to avenge the Bucks blowout win over them earlier this season. Remember, Milwaukee beat them by 23 points earlier in the season. Giannis telling the reporters this week that he knows Golden State's going to come after them with the best shot. Warriors right now have not had a great first 2 months of the season, while Milwaukee has. The Bucks are in second place in the Eastern Conference, just behind the red-hot Toronto Raptors. That game tips off at 9:30 Eastern time, 6:30 Pacific tonight. On Twitter, hit at me, because it's a Target Demo Friday. Let me know what you're doing, where you're at, and how you're listening. I'll read those coming up in the final hour of the show. Nick tweets, I have to admit, I do want Huge Freeze to pull through here. However, if he gets eliminated, I think that him singing My Way would be a great final song, just saying. It's a good thought, Nick, and I appreciate you looking that far ahead. This is a very difficult time for all of us that are Huge Freeze fans, knowing that we're only 4 weeks away, now really less than that, 3.5, from him being officially banished for life. Maybe there's one great comeback in this grand American underdog story. Maybe. Maybe. But if not, it's time for us to start thinking about burial plans. You know, right now the patient is sick. Right now Huge Freeze is on life support. Right now the plug is probably going to be pulled here soon. He's trailing by 5.5 games. And so we need to start making those plans. Who's the pallbearers? Who buys the plot? Where do we get the tombstone? How big of a plot does it need to be? Maybe 2X, 3X, 5X. So it's time to start thinking about this. Because banishment for life, is what's at risk right here for Robbie. When we come back, my friend Adam Rank, NFL Network, will talk about the weekend that will be in the NFL. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Calling all D-Aliens. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Jacobs teaching us what getting them cheeks means. Getting them cheeks. I think you know what it means.
She's a bad girl, David.
Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, the DA Show full episodes are available, so catch up on what you may have missed this week or want to hear again, including the 12 DAs of Christmas, by going to our iTunes feed. Search DA and CBS. Get full episodes there. Also on demand, DA on CBS.com. All the 12 DAs also available on YouTube.
And now we're toll-free line brought to you by GEICO, everyone. There's a quick way you could save money. Switching to GEICO, need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all, GEICO.com. One of my favorite guests joining us here on the show right now. You see him on the NFL Network. You see him on NFL.com. You see him everywhere the NFL is. He's a fantasy guru, a handsome man, and a friend of mine. His name is Adam Rank, and he joins us this morning on the show. Adam, good morning.
Hey, good morning. What's happening? I love the introduction. You are far too kind to me. Just see, I'm like the pilot fish swimming along with the shark. I'm just happy to just be in your wake and ride along with you.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Before the show, we were trying to figure out how to term you, how to graphic you on our simulcast. We said, is it NFL Network host? Is it NFL Network personality? NFL Network court jester? What would be appropriate here?
TV's Adam Rank. Funny man. I don't know.
Funny man.
It's always weird. Yeah, no. It's weird because I do a lot of different things, and I have to still, you know, even though I've got an amazing job, you know, and it's awesome. I love working in football and everything like that, but there's still like a lot of corpo parts to it where you have to do goals and you have to do like yearly reviews and things like that. And my boss the other day was just like, what do you do? Like, she's like, what is exactly like your job title? Because you're doing everything. Like, you're on every show. You're doing like everything, you know. They need a fantasy analyst on TNF First Look. You go do that. You got to go on In Case You Missed It with Taylor Bisciotti, and you go do something there. And then the other day I saw you changing the paper towels in the bathroom. I was like, listen, you know, anything I can do to stay relevant. It's like, you know, like I'm the Danny Woodhead, I guess, of the NFL. How about that? Just a little bit of everything.
As a Bears fan growing up in the 80s, of course, you have the beloved 1985 Bears. And interestingly, Ron Rivera said that Baker Mayfield reminds him of Jim McMahon, the punky QB. I wanted to go to the source. Do you think that's a fair comparison?
You know what? I'm not mad at that at all. I think that's a pretty good assessment of him. And obviously, he's going to draw from his experience because he played with McMahon. So, of course, that's somebody he's going to compare him to. And I know to Bears fans, you know, that's the highest esteem possible. I know I've probably told you, like, my rankings of Bears quarterbacks in my lifetime, it's not a great list. It's McMahon's number one, and then Mitch is already number two. That's how bad it is. Then you got Cutler at three, Walter Payton on the halfback option at four, yeah. And then it's ABRG, which is anybody but Rex Grossman. And so really, you know, the Bears fans still love Jim McMahon to this day, and again, that's the highest regard. But I do get it. I like the attitude that Baker Mayfield has. I know that what he did to Hugh Jackson. I mean, I understand some people were saying that, hey, you know, Hugh Jackson should be able to go out and eat. And you're like, that's fine, but Baker Mayfield can still be upset about it and be a little salty. And if I'm a fan of the team, you know, and I'm paying $16 for beers inside that stadium, I spent $200 on a jersey, I want somebody who has the same feelings about this that I do, that I feel like we're on the same side. He's not just, you know, playing around, like he's taking this as seriously as I do. So I kind of like that, and I do like the comparison.
I agree on all of those counts. A discussion we've had this week on the show is what effect the AFC East has had on the Patriots' success. Now, you're a Bears fan, and you've run your helmets into the Vikings, into the Packers, even the Lions when the Lions have been good and made the playoffs. Meantime, the Patriots have gone up against basically pudding oatmeal for 18 years. Do you think, because Patriots fans would absolutely defend against this, but do you think the AFC East has had a hand in the Patriots' greatness over 18 years?
Well, it does help a little bit, obviously, you know, not having a true rival, so to speak. I know the Jets had some run. The Dolphins always give them a hard time. The Dolphins have beaten the Patriots 4 out of 5 times.
The Jets
down in
had
Miami.
2 years. Let's get it straight. People keep saying All the Jets. Right. They had 2 years.
All right. Well, listen, that's But what if about the notion of iron sharpens iron? You know, like I think then is it more impressive what the Patriots are doing? Like if you're sitting there and you're playing Madden, if you're playing Madden against the computer, like you think you're the hardest dude in the world. You're like, dude, I rolled up. Dude, I scored 73 on the Bills the other day. Tom Brady, 600 yards. You think you're good. Then you sit next to your buddy who plays other human beings who are cunning and not a computer simulation, and you get worked. So maybe it's more impressive what Bill Belichick's doing. And by the way, I know that it was a Steelers fan that started bringing this up, which I find absolutely rich. Like Steeler fan is bemoaning the Patriots' easy division. I'm sorry. How many games have the Browns won over the previous 2 years? You have a division with Marvin Lewis as a head coach. And let me tell you, Steeler fans have also told me that Joe Flacco is not elite and that he's kind of a garbage quarterback. So like, okay, so that team's not good. Their defense has been fine for a couple of years. So don't act like the Steelers haven't waltzed through it. There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL. I think it's fair to say the Patriots have had a little bit of an advantage with their division, but I don't think that it's the reason why they're good year in and year out.
Adam Rank joins us from NFL Network. Well, I would respectfully disagree on the Steelers take because you have a division where another team in the division goes to the playoffs, wins playoff games, and has won a Super Bowl. And then say what you will about the Bengals because they never win a playoff game, but they've gone to the playoffs, what, seven times? And they've had two consistent quarterbacks, Andy Dalton and Carson Palmer. Yes, the Browns are a disgrace. But you look at the AFC East, I mean, I did the numbers the other day. Outside of the Tom Brady Pro Bowls, there's been three quarterback Pro Bowl seasons in 18 years in the AFC East. Bledsoe with the Bills in 2003, Favre with the Jets in 2008, and then a couple of years ago, Tyrod Taylor was like the seventh quarterback taken. So that's how awful the quarterbacking has been aside from Tom Brady in that division.
Still a Pro Bowler. So there, right? All right, still a Pro Bowler. Like, I can't even think of what, did Dan Marino's career, did that intersect? Did he play long enough so I could be like, oh, they had Dan Marino? All right.
No,
listen,
no. He was done in 99.
The AFC East is garbage.
Thank
but
you.
Don't try to sell me too hard on the Bengals, and you're like, oh, Andy Dalton. You're like, oh, okay. Like, Andy Dalton's fine.
Andy Dalton would be by far the second best quarterback in the AFC East since Tom Brady took over. By far.
Wait, you already said Tyrod Taylor. So the question about who's the second best AFC East quarterback of all time of this era has clearly been defined. So I'm going to have to disrespectfully ask you not to besmirch Tyrod's name in my presence again, if you don't mind. This is a favor to me. I know that we're friends. Like, I know you don't want to concede that point, but just as a favor to me, that would be appreciated. All right, the AFC East isn't great. It's not the most competitive division. But again, I go back to my thing. It's like, I find it impressive. Like, if the Lakers were, you know, if they were scrimmaging against an eighth grade, you know, basketball team, and then they had to go out and play the Warriors, isn't that more difficult than if they had to actually practice against people that are their peers?
I like that reverse psychology.
I'm really impressed. You know what? I don't think the Patriots get enough credit for how tough they've had it because they get no competition. And then they have to walk. They get 12 preseason games. And then you see the teams in the first week of the season. They're always a little rusty. I think that we should start the movement. This is what we're going to do. We're going to say this is the Patriots division makes it more impressive. You heard it here first on the DA show.
I like that take. We can use that take. We can sell that take, especially in Boston. Adam Rank joins us from NFL Network.
We're going to be huge.
Huge.
We're going to be so over in Boston. It's like when CM Punk and he walks into the Allstate Arena in Chicago and the place goes nuts. Now when we go to Boston, after we're floating around this take, dude, we're going to have every Sully and every dude out there in Southie buying us drinks. We've really got it made now.
Yeah, Kings of Boston, no doubt after this take. Would you trust Josh McDaniels to hire as a head coach of the offseason?
I probably wouldn't. I look at the Colts situation and how it's worked out for them. That sometimes the best deals that you just fall into your lap. Like, I think that it might have been a mistake. I think that, you know, Bill O'Brien's doing a fine job down there in Houston, and I know last night watching the Titans, and he's not really a Belichick disciple because he was not an assistant coach for the Patriots. I'm talking about Mike Vrabel. I still have a little apprehension of these guys getting second chances. Maybe, you know, maybe it's unfairly on my part, but at the same time, you know, I think that there's other, but you know, what are the other options? You know, that's the one thing that's going to be tough is like, who is that hot name coming up through the ranks? I think that this season we had hoped that it was going to be Matt LaFleur in Tennessee. And perhaps if Derrick Henry goes out and rushes for 250 yards for every game for the rest of the year, that might change people's mind. But there might not be a lot of options out there. So McVay might be like the best of the worst options, kind of like when you're driving across country and you're like, I need to find some place to eat. And you see like a QSR that you recognize. And you're like, well, I wouldn't normally eat here, but I know what I'm going to get. Like, I'm going to walk into Taco Bell and I know what I'm getting. I'm not going to get my expectations too high, but you know, and it could be fine, but you know, it could also, you know, end disastrously. But that's what I kind of feel about Josh McDaniels right now.
I don't know if you've been keeping stock of all of the new football leagues, but there's the American Alliance Football League starting this year, then the XFL next year, and now Ricky Williams, T.O., and Simeon Rice have unveiled another football league called the Freedom Football League. I just want to know if you saw the same thing I did, that in the Freedom Football League, Ricky Williams, there's going to be an Ohio Players team. The Ohio Players! I got to feel like Adam Rank has an Ohio Players hat coming to him for Christmas 2021.
Yeah, I already got the jersey. Okay. I think that's a pretty good one. I like that. I'm already trying to figure out how we can work fantasy leagues in this thing. That's where I'm going to have to stop people. I might get off Twitter forever when somebody's like, yeah, I've got my XFL lineup. Would you flex? And you're like, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing DFS flex plays in the XFL. I'm going to have to ask somebody else to take over for that. But yeah, it's interesting. I want to see what I thought, like, with the XFL names, everything the last time around, I thought it was pretty cool. And do I have an LA Extreme jersey? I do. Am I proud of it? I am. Listen, for the longest time, that was LA's, you know, lone Super Bowl or lone football championship, you know, professional level until USC started winning. So it was like a pretty nice thing, you know, it was a pretty cool thing. So I'm excited, but don't ask me. Yeah, I'm not going to be breaking down the fantasy and the kickers and the DSTs and all that stuff. I'm going to have to let you guys be on your own on that one.
I just have a quick tweet coming in. Can you ask Adam who I should start for the Memphis
Stop
Express
it.
Week one? Should it
Stop
be it. Mettenberger or should it be Hackenberg under center for Memphis in week one?
Oh, yeah. Well, Hackenberg, you know, we saw him in the preseason. He was looking pretty strong. He, you know, he was completing 65% of his. And come on, stop. I'm going to have to know this stuff, aren't I? This is
yes.
This is where my life.
Yes.
This is where my life is heading. I'm going to pull up.
In February, if you don't think you are coming on to be our AAF fantasy expert, you are crazy.
Well, I took Terrell Pryor in the first round, so I feel pretty comfortable with that. Because he can play, he qualifies at both positions, so I think this is going to work out pretty well. There's a lot of players that I miss. Like, hey, Josh Ferguson. You're like, yeah, I would love. I mean, like, all the guys that you missed on that you thought were going to be good in the NFL, it's like, no. So I will have the research, I guess, like Ron Jones when he's out of the league in next season or whatever. He'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember, you know. So maybe we're on to something here.
Yeah, you've got a dossier in all the Alliance of American Football players coming in this year to the AAF. Already set. Adam Rank, you can follow him on all of his social media channels.
What's the logo for the players? What does that logo look like?
They haven't unveiled the actual logos or rosters or infrastructure of the league or when it's going to play or how big the rosters are. We just know the team names. So they're a little ahead of themselves right now. Yeah, the Ohio Players.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Adam Rank, follow him on all the social media channels, then also watch him NFL Network and read him at NFL.com. Thank you, Punky QB.
Hey, thanks, DA. The pleasure was all on this side of the phone.
Okay, appreciate it, man. Adam Rank joining us this morning on the show. When we come back, little sound check, your best audio of the day. And that includes a caller to WFAN in New York trashing me about what else? Initials. DA, CBS Sports Radio, Marco Belletti has your headlines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A party on a sports talk spaceship. Just go with it. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We're counting down the great moments of 2018 here on the DA show throughout the month. That's just one that's stuck in the chimney, if you will. We'll re-rack number 10 on the 12 DAs of Christmas coming up next hour on the show. Thanks for being with us. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday. Exciting regional action, playoff and wild card position up for grabs. In critical AFC matchups, Baltimore battles Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs. Andrew Luck leads Indy into Houston to take on the Texans. And Phillip Rivers leads the Chargers against the Bengals. Check your local listings. Kick off your day with the NFL today. Danny tweets, DA, so Baker Mayfield can transfer from Texas Tech to Oklahoma in the same conference, but gets upset with Hugh Jackson for getting a new job in the same conference? Yeah, to me, I think they're two different things here. I mean, number one, college athletes aren't getting paid. They are not paid professionals, and they're not the coaches as well. So I think what Baker Mayfield's resentment was here's Hugh Jackson talking about us versus them, and I'm sure promoting that the Bengals are the enemy, the Bengals are the them, believe me, stick with me, follow me, do it as I say, and then leaves for the very same people, the very same organization, the very same opportunity he was claiming was the enemy. Now, as I've said before, I don't begrudge Hugh Jackson for this. Hugh Jackson is in survival mode. He gets canned. He goes to a friend who gives him a soft landing spot. And let's face it, Hugh ain't getting another head coaching job anywhere else in the NFL, except maybe in Cincinnati because Marvin Lewis is his buddy. And because the Bengals hate greatness. So it's a great professional move for Hugh. I don't begrudge him that, but I also think Baker Mayfield making it personal is brilliant. Look, you're the Browns and you have been kicked around for 20 years. You are the punchline of all punchlines in the NFL. How do you change that? How do you change the narrative? You make it a pride thing. Hey, I'm thankful I'm a Brown. We got something. I want to be a Brown. And everybody that's not a Brown is the enemy. And a guy that used to be a Brown and is now a Bengal, now you're the real enemy. I think that's great. You're creating an edge. And you're creating a reason to believe in yourself. The Browns aren't going to the playoffs. The Browns have still been a punchline this year with the Hugh Jackson press conferences and who takes over the offense and losing tight games and going to all these overtimes. What Baker Mayfield is doing is changing and resetting the narrative. It's us against the world, and we like us. When's the last time the Browns liked being the Browns? Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
One other note about Baker Mayfield and transferring from Texas Tech to Oklahoma. He was a walk-on at Texas Tech, so they never believed in him. He was a walk-on. They never gave him a scholarship. He rose to starting quarterback. He gets injured and then slides all the way back down the depth chart and loses his job, and guys get stacked above him, and he goes, I'm not going to get back on the field. So I don't think it's the same that Baker Mayfield, well, you transferred in the conference. You transferred within to a rival. I don't think it's the same as the way that he views the Hugh Jackson thing, and I don't view it the same either, but I don't think either guy is wrong anyway. Mark Sanchez is going to be starting for Washington coming up this weekend as the third string QB. And is asked about his most famous moment.
There's also a certain fumble in the nationally televised game that...
I'm not following.
did that bother you that comes up still to this day? Do you laugh about it as you just did?
Like I said, what are you going to do? I mean, it was a crappy play in a game where we're getting our butts kicked. You know, some low-hanging fruit, so that was an easy reach for you. I'm just kidding. Come on, you can give it to me. I can give it right back. Come on now. Thick skin in here, huh? No, listen, it's... who cares? It's one play. And, you just move on. I prefer to remember the good stuff. You seem like a doomsdayer, so...
Guy in the back of the room saying, I think you nailed it. Look, that's the right attitude for Mark Sanchez to be with. You can't be humiliated. You can't be embarrassed. You can't be regretful. You can't shy away from it. It's going to be shown forever, forever, forever. My question is, has there ever been a player who has been associated with one embarrassing moment so obviously that you cannot hide from it, that you cannot escape it? I'm kind of thinking about the drop in the Super Bowl by tight end Jackie Smith for the Cowboys, but he ended up going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, is there one play where you're like, oh, yeah, butt fumble guy, and he's such a joke, and it's such a punchline. It's a butt. It's a fumble. It's the butt fumble. It happens on national TV on Thanksgiving. He'll never shake that. Mike Oresko, commissioner of the American Athletic Conference on UCF, not being considered for the playoff.
Unfortunately, there's this perception of our conference, which is just flat out wrong. Like somehow we play JV football, which is ridiculous. You know, when Temple went down and beat Maryland by 3 touchdowns, and you know,
had some
good wins. I know, and the point is, and I'm not singling out anyone, but we've got 7, you know, P5, so-called P5 wins this year, 33 in the last, you know, 4 years. We've had big wins against top programs. The point is, what I think is a big concern is they weren't really seriously considered for this. It doesn't appear they were. And that's the problem. And the question then becomes, is half of college football precluded from playing in this playoff? Is it, as Danny White said, an invitational, or is it a real playoff?
Absolutely half college football is not invited. That's obvious. That is courtesy of Sports Business Journal. I want to delve more into this because the SEC commented about UCF's inability to get into the college football playoff. We'll do that coming up at the top of the hour. And finally, here's a caller on WFAN in New York, a radio station I'm not even on, really upset with me.
If I say these initials LT, who do you think of?
Lawrence Taylor.
Okay, right. If I say KD, who do you think of?
Kevin Durant.
Right, right. So why does Damon Amendola, when he does his thing, he goes, this is DA.
Because what other DA is there,
bro?
He's DA.
Yeah, Clem, why are you asking us this?
Because because you guys are around that circle.
Yeah, but Clem, you got to ask him that.
I'm going to
give you, Clem.
Down.
Clem, I know right. DA. I'm going to give you an answer. You want to know the answer?
Yes.
Because I did one show with him. Right? I had a good time. Nice guy. It's no Joe, but he's a nice guy. I mispronounced his last name 5 times. And I think that's why, to make life easier for guys like me, he says,
it?
You know what? Blanket. Okay. It's just DA.
But, Clem, I can't answer that.
That's right. What I'm saying is this. Why even give out your initials if you need to tell people your name? Like, why not just say, this is Damon Amendola? He's trying to be like a superstar where you just need initials or a first name. I don't know. I'm just crying. I'm going to jump back on the bandwagon and have a great day.
All right, Clem.
Jeez.
I mean, I can't. How can I answer for him? I don't know.
I think
a lot of guys that do BT, right?
But you know what?
Brandon Tierney.
I got to be honest. And I don't know
Damon, think anybody else who
does the letters.
Yeah.
Does JJ, John Feinstein Jastrzemski. Say John Jastrzemski
JJ,
does it? Yeah.
JJ.
I know Damon. I don't take him as an ego guy. I really don't.
I don't know. I don't know him well enough.
Painting him the wrong way.
I don't know him
I don't
well
take
enough.
Him as an ego guy.
I don't know.
What do you want, Ernie?
J.A. Happ. I mean, it's sickening. This guy goes J.A. Happ. Just choose
well,
one
J.
name.
J.A. Happ is also he's a major league pitcher.
J.J. Putz.
Who's he think he is? Well, this guy isn't Randy Johnson.
Well, we know that.
B.J. Surhoff. Who the heck does he think he is?
That's just the initials he goes by.
Who are these people? They get away with this.
That's from Joe and Evan on WFAN in New York yesterday. I've talked about this story before. Most people probably don't realize it. When I got my first job in Florida, the show was, when I finally got my own show, was the Damon Amendola show. And then I got out to Kansas City. I got a job doing evenings out there in Kansas City, my second real job. And they said, well, what else can we call you? Because nobody in the Midwest is going to be able to pronounce Amendolara. It's too ethnic, which is Italian. I don't know how ethnic it is, but it is long. It is complicated, I suppose. A lot of vowels. And they said, we just got to change it. Can we do anything else? I said, well, some people call me DA. They go, oh, perfect. We'll do that. And that was 2003. It's just been that way for 15 years. What can I say? It's way easier than saying Amendolara. That's a mouthful.
Okay. Initials, okay.
When we come back, can the Chiefs hold on to the top spot in the AFC?
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.